Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
You know what? I want to bring Daryl back in there on this. Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I didn't bring him back in here. He's here for the first time. You know what? In a way, like, I go back and go, gosh, they did give up a second-round pick this year and a first-round pick next year. Boy, that's a lot. And then I thought about the people in charge because I go, well, it's a new general manager. Wouldn't you have a little bit more patience? But damn, Daryl, you know that they're a little bit nuts down there. We know nuts. We know that they're a little bit nuts. Yeah, they've invested in Trevor Lawrence, and they're gonna go deeper into Hawk to see what they can get with the help Trevor Lawrence. And we were able to, I have to say, Lima, take advantage of that situation there, Daryl.
They did, and Andrew Berry did a good job taking advantage of it. And you're right, that I still am a little shocked at what Andrew Berry was able to get from Jacksonville to make that trade. And, I mean, that really was an offer you couldn't refuse. So, and then also Andrew went ahead and drafted a pretty good player there in Mason Graham with the fifth pick. But what Berry did was create some flexibility. If these young quarterbacks don't work out this year, they can go back to the well next year. But if one of them does work out, guess what? Then you can go ahead and draft two really good players in the first round. But the messaging from Jacksonville's ownership, I thought, was really interesting. And it was just basically, look, we've been compiling draft picks for years and years and years, and it's not helping us win football games. We need elite players to win, and so we went and got an elite player. So I think there's a little messaging in there as well.
All right, Daryl, so we're getting ready for the all-exciting, get-ready-to-overreact rookie minicamp.
I can't wait for the first video of a Shedeur Sanders incompletion to hit social media and what the reaction's going to be.
Oh, wait, what about a completion? What about a great play?
Well, I know how the reaction's going to be if it's a completion video.
You seem like you were trending towards the negative there. Why not think about the positive?
Because I'm just having a little fun because, you know, we know how Browns fans, they're very very even keel on social media and how they react to things.
Well, I do want to know because I've been asking everybody that has been around the Browns about this. We remember the Johnny Mania.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do, unfortunately.
Baker,
we know how that went.
I'm a little foggy on the first camp days of Baker. I mean, he was the number one overall pick, so that was a big deal. He wasn't as polarizing as Johnny was, obviously. But what about Shedeur? Now, had they have taken Shedeur number two overall, I think there'd be a little more than what there might be. But I still think it'll be a big story. I just don't know that all the national media are going to descend upon Berea in the same way.
Yesterday, when I was at Cavs practice, I looked up at the TV, and in between Pat McAfee doing Pope coverage, which I did not have that on my bingo card, the following show, the follow McAfee's, did a whole segment on Shedeur Sanders. So
you think it will be? You think it will be an immense deal?
I think it's going to be a circus, yeah.
How could it not be?
Yeah,
fell out of the fifth round.
But that's part of it, too, though. like Shador at number two overall, there's like these immense expectations. When you're a fifth round quarterback, like there are a bunch of people saying he's not even going to make the team. He's going to be out of the league.
He's going to make the
team. In the next year. I know, but you know what I mean. Like the haters, yeah. Like it's like he's not even going to be in the league. So that's what I mean. Like how quickly will the national media lose interest in this story if he's just the third quarterback?
Well, that'll be, you know, that'll be the thing. Look, he has to come in here and earn his spot. And, I hope that the Browns take the right approach with this kid because they didn't do it with Johnny. They didn't do it with Baker. And that is have him come in and earn it. Yes, he's a bit, he's got the name, right? He's got a big social media following. They can't keep Shador Sanders jerseys on the shelves right now, I guess. Because everyone's buying them, everyone's on social media talking about Shador Sanders and critiquing every little thing that Shador Sanders does. But I hope that, and I think maybe they are. I mean, they basically stuffed him in a corner in the locker room. If you look at the video that the Browns put out yesterday, because let's see, they had to put a video of him out walking into the building. Then they had to put a video out of him seeing his locker for the first time. Then they had to put a video out of him looking out at the practice fields. Like a little much. Okay, he's a fifth round pick. What are we doing here,
Daryl? You don't live in the SEO world, and that's
I know that is
alarming for a man who's in media.
No, it's not alarming, Ken. What's alarming is they're doing this already. Like, let's not make this guy any more of a star and celebrity that he already is, and let's have him do something to earn it first. And I get it, Ken. I, of all people, understand it, okay? So don't throw that shot at me. I get how the world works.
Tough talking Daryl.
Here we go.
Jersey sales are important to the Cleveland Browns.
I Justin Bibb, don't
important.
You come after me here for a second here, Daryl.
But
damn.
Like, he pays his taxes, Ken. Daryl pays
those
taxes.
And I respect Daryl as a taxpayer. I do.
But, like, I just want them to take the right approach with this kid. And he's got – it's very, very important. He's a fifth-round pick. There is a chance he doesn't make the football team. I think he will, but – he's got to earn it. It wasn't a fifth overall pick. The Browns had to go get him at 144. So I just, and for folks, I think they need to slow their roll too here. He is a fifth round pick. He has to prove himself, okay? To expect that he's just going to go set the world on fire all of a sudden, I don't think that that's fair to Shador Sanders as well. So I just... yes, I'm going to go out there today, and yes, I'll be posting videos of Shador Sanders throwing the football, and I'll be posting clips whether he talks today or he talks tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to put that content out there because that's my job, Ken. But, like, I'm very nervous about the Browns getting caught up organizationally from a football standpoint in the hype of Shador Sanders. I'm more interested in the football substance of Shador Sanders.
All right, Daryl.
Daryl, who are you most excited to actually see? For me, I want to see Harold Fannin. I want to see how quickly he can, because he has so little.
Am I going to see you at camp this weekend to come see Harold Fannin?
I want to see Dylan Gabriel. I'm dead ass serious about that.
That's who I was going to say, Ken. I want to see Dylan Gabriel.
Because I saw a lot of them, but I wasn't really – I'm like, I never thought they would any – no offense to Dylan Gabriel, man, but I didn't think – that he was going to be on our product ladder here in the draft.
Ken, so, there are teams that had him as an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, so
all right, Daryl, well, no, save the shots.
But no. He has
it's not a shot.
Arm.
It's a fact.
So I want to see a 5'10", 5'11", probably 5'10", quarterback.
He's shrinking
the
by the
around.
Minute right now.
Like, no, he's
shorter
not.
Than Baker Mayfield.
Oh, God.
Come on now. That's not nice. Baker Mayfield's 6 feet tall.
And he's 5'11".
It's true.
That's 1 inch shorter.
I thought it was more about 5'10".
And oh, by the way, I'm 6 feet even, and I was taller than Baker Mayfield.
You're 6 feet tall?
Yes, I'm 6 feet on the nose, and I was taller than Baker Mayfield.
So
that's all I'm saying.
There would be people who consider Daryl tall. Anyway, I'm sorry.
No, I'm not that tall.
I totally ripped Lima. Lima, you can – all right, took it away. Lima, you can bring up Harold Fannin again. I'm sorry I had to cut you off.
No, it's okay.
I am actually, honestly, because I'm like, I want to see him whip the ball around.
You know what I might do today, Ken? I might just troll everyone and just post Dylan Gabriel video today.
You should.
Forget about Shador Sanders. He's a fifth-round pick.
You should.
Let's go for the third
but
rounder
at
94.
But you know what you're going to do? You're going to start an argument because you're going to have guys, and that's maybe that's what you want to do. you will at least start conversation, because there will be guys, guarantee you, if they check their phone, they might be sitting at a bar in Parma after work. They check their phone. They're seeing you post Dylan Gabriel highlights. Like, why is he posting Dylan? He's trying to post Dylan Gabriel highlights on purpose. He's doing this on purpose. And there's some guy sitting next to him goes, well, yeah, he's higher up on the depth chart. They took him in the third round. They should be posting Dylan Gabriel highlights. All you guys are excited about the fifth round QB who's probably going to be on the practice squad. And all of a sudden, these two guys start fighting. And Daryl, that's what you're able to start.
And now I'm going to have that on my conscience. The day after we got a new Pope, you got to put that on my conscience. Thanks, Ken.
It's, you know what? I'm sure he's an American. I bet he has an opinion on who should be the starting quarterback for the Browns. Can't tell me he hasn't thought these things about the Bears.
I think he's got more of an opinion on the quarterback for the Bears than he does the Browns.
I wonder if he was a big Caleb Williams guy, or he was just like, I don't know. We've had these type of guys before. I'm not sure. We'll find out. Go ahead,
Tom. Prayers.
Hey, Daryl, you
cut.
Know what?
That
Come
will
on.
Be cut and used against you in the future. I liked Go
it.
Ahead.
I liked it, Daryl. I liked it. I thought it was quick on his feet. It was good. So Nick Chubb, if he were back with the Browns tomorrow, would be as popular as anybody on the football team.
Well, he's not back with the Browns, and he's still popular as
right.
anybody.
They got 90 roster spots.
Yeah.
Why do you think he's not going to have one of those spots?
I think combination of they just drafted two running backs, combination of he had his knee put back together twice, combination of his age. Look, his workout videos have been fantastic. I mean, right on par with what we had seen in previous off seasons. Not the last couple where he's coming off injury, but like doing the box jumps, the 500-pound deadlifts and all that. He looks fantastic. So, I think Andrew Berry honestly is in an honest spot, honestly in a tough spot here, because you know Chubb is a fan favorite, but also at the same time, Andrew Berry has to look at today as well as tomorrow. And you know, if they re-sign Nick Chubb, and I think that this ultimately what it will boil down to. I don't know when you ask Andrew Berry this morning if he'll give you this answer, but you know, I think the behind closed doors answer would be: does Nick Chubb, if we sign him, do we win more football games this fall? And I don't know for 100% that the answer is yes. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the answer is yes. Nick Chubb helps us win football games. But looking at things right now, I just, as much as we love and respect Nick Chubb, I'm not convinced 100% that the answer is yes.
We know that the schedule is right around the corner, and we know that we're going to find out the specifics of the London game. Daryl, yeah. What excites you most about the unveiling of this year's schedule?
Well, it's sounding like it's going to be Browns and Vikings. A couple of guys who...
Again?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of guys on X that they've got a tremendous batting average when they put information about the NFL schedule out. That posted yesterday, they basically posted what they... say is going to be the entire international slate, and both guys posted it's Browns and Vikings October 5th. We'll see if that's ultimately what happens. There was some buzz that maybe the San Francisco 49ers would get chosen for that game in London, but what excites me most about schedule release time is the fact that we get to play my favorite game in the world, and that is the schedule game, where we get to go win-loss, 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 loss-loss, win-win-win. You know, that kind of thing. Love it.
Daryl, is Darius Garland going to play tonight?
I don't think so. Hope so, but...
Damn it.
I don't think Evan Mobley's playing again tonight, and I don't think that DeAndre Hunter's playing tonight. And here's why I say that. Because for the third time in the last four media availabilities, Kenny Atkinson has bemoaned the excessive contact that led to injury. And he did it again yesterday at practice, unsolicited. And so that's why I don't have a good feeling, especially about Mobley and Hunter, because they suffered those injuries, that kept them out Tuesday night. But, yeah, I mean, fingers crossed at least Garland can go, but I'm here to tell you, I spent half my show Sunday crying about my sore left foot, and it wasn't sprained at all. and I was wearing the good shoes that feel good on my feet, and I was still limping around, so I can't imagine what it'd be like to be running up and down a floor, cutting, jumping, all those kind of things with a sprained big toe. I think it's easier for us to say, go ahead and go out there and play with it, than it is maybe to actually go out and do it.
Dangerous Daryl, brought to you by Schaubin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, thank you for the time. Oh, yeah. Enjoy the conversation about the new stadium and everything else.
Oh, it's going to be delightful. It has been delightful, and it will continue to be until June 30th. Mark your calendars, people. We'll have an answer then.
Political Daryl has been a lot of fun.
Is it going to pass? Is DeWine going to send it through as is?
I think what they're going to do is going to hammer out a compromise behind the scenes. And I think the Browns do get the money from the state, and once, but not in the form of what the House passed, which was the $600 million in bonds. I do think they get the state help they're looking for, and shovels will be in the ground next spring.
Daryl Ryder, excellent stuff. Take
shovels
care.
In the ground. Shovels in the ground. Shovels in the ground.
Oh, she put Daryl down. Daryl didn't get a chance.
What do you have chanting with us? I don't know.
No, he wouldn't. So if Darius can't go tonight, does it change your guys' opinion of what could happen for the rest of the series? We are at a pivotal moment here for this series against the Indiana Pacers. Andrew Berry going to join us 9:15 this morning. We also have a great giveaway coming up at 9 o'clock for concert tickets. I'm going to get to the Ty Jerome thing coming up here momentarily. Where's your confidence level right now with this?
Well, I'll tell you about the Darius question. If I see him, and I think I'll be able to gauge, I think all of us will be able to gauge after about 3 to 5 minutes of action, whether or not this is going to truly hamper him. Like, I understand, you know, if he comes back, it's been so long. Like, I don't think he's going to be able to be thrust into like an overtime, double overtime game and play 40 plus minutes. Like, I don't think we're seeing that. But can he be somebody useful that can actually bring the ball up the floor when they were so in desperate need of a point guard at the end of that game? Yeah, that's
well, if
I
have
see
to run
that
up the floor at some point, can't just walk up the floor.
Oh yeah, but if I see that, then yes, I think we absolutely have a shot because yeah, their margin for error has been taken away by being down 0-2, but you just saw empty-handed, short-handed, down three guys. You should have beat them. You're up 20.
I want to know when we talk about soft. This is the difference here, guys. This is really the difference. When we say soft, you talk about toughness. If he can't go, he can't go. If you're injured and you can't play, don't play. I believe Darius Garland is injured. Let me repeat that. I believe Darius Garland is injured and can't play. I don't hold it against Darius Garland. Apparently, some people are getting my voice mixed up with other voices in the city. If Darius can't go, don't play. I defend him for that. The same thing with Evan. The same thing with DeAndre Hunter. Defend them for that. The softness, because you're getting it mixed, not you, but some people are getting it mixed up. The softness is, how are you going to come out emotionally after that game where you give up a 20-point lead? Are you going to roll over and die against Indiana? Or are you going to be a bunch of professionals? Because when I talk about softness, it ain't about the guys who are on the bench injured. When I talk about softness, it's being a bunch of professionals, playing at a high level of basketball even for a year before in college, and still being afraid to make the plays necessary to have the wherewithal, the presence of mind to do what you've been taught to be able to go out and finish off a ball game and win a game that you were up 20 on. It's the NBA. Of course Indiana was going to make a run. But you're up 7 with less than a minute left. Put the damn thing away and stop freaking out. Like some of the stuff said about Kenny Atkinson. I do think that Kenny Atkinson had to freak out. I think that he was forced to freak out when Max Strus can't inbound the ball. You think that Darius Garland has been out before. Darius Garland has been out since April 23rd. They just now started inbounding the ball without Darius Garland. They just now started to do that. They just now started to work on these things. I mean, where are we at with this?
But let's just admit
we're angry that they lost, and that's fine. But that's what I'm talking about when I talk about softness. It's not about guys being injured. Injury's injury. It's about where are you at mentally where you can't find yourself making basketball plays when you need to make basketball plays to make this a 1-1 series.
So the mental part of this is so big because losing Garland, losing Evan Mobley, that's such a hit in the playoffs. And they were, again, Ty Jerome was a nothing. He was a negative, whatever the hell he was. And yet they were up 20. So it shows that they can hang with this team no matter who is on the floor. And if they just shoot the ball better, if any of them can just shoot the ball better, then they win that game and they probably win the opener. All of that is to say, like, yeah, they're up against it now and they don't have any margin for error. The psyche, Kenny, I'm glad you brought it up. Huge part of this, because it's one thing to be confident, to clown the opponents, and they did a lot of that this year, especially Darius. Darius has grown into like a big-time trash talker.
I do think some of that has played into that as well.
Well, this is what I'm saying.
Some of the fans have been upset because of what he had said about Tyler Hero, and then he wasn't able to play for the rest of the series.
I know. So they won 64 games this year. They were in command. How many times did we come on the air after a blowout the day before? And I'm like, sorry, guys, we don't have a lot to break down here. Cavs are really good. Hopefully the playoffs, they'll be able to stay healthy. And I said that all the time. Hopefully that. And they haven't been. But the mindset is going to be so interesting, because this team, unlike like Golden State, they lost Steph Curry, but they've got champions and guys that have been to the NBA Finals on that team. And it's still going to be really tough for them because they don't have all the talent in the world now. But the Cavs have not. The Cavs only have Tristan Thompson, who has won it all. And then after that, like, actually Indiana has guys with more experience in the playoffs than they do. They have not been out of the second round of the playoffs, most of the guys on this team. I think Max Strus has the third most of anybody on the team playoff game experience. So they're not that experienced. And they've been knocked in the mouth here, and this has been a long, long couple days where they have had to think about how they're going to get back in this series. Because during the season, if anybody was throwing shade at all on the Cavs, what would they do? They'd point out that Atlanta Hawks team that won 60-some games, the Jeff Teague team, right, that got throttled, that got absolutely throttled and humiliated by LeBron and the Cavs. And every time that picture of the Hawks team got posted, Cavs fans would get real defensive and go, no.
I got defensive.
I would too. It's like, come on, we have Donovan Mitchell. They didn't have a Donovan Mitchell. We have Darius, who at that time was an All-NBA candidate, and obviously Evan Mobley, who's Defensive Player of the Year and All-NBA. I know they don't have the horses now, but a loss in this series, it would stick to a lot of these guys. It'd be a tough pill to swallow for as confident a team as they've been all year. So the psyche, Kenny, is what I'm wondering about tonight. How can they calm down, act like the last two games have never happened, and re-exert their authority over the Pacers and look like the team that was better than the Pacers and everybody else in the East all year?
They got to figure out. If they were down, because right now there's too many open-ended questions to answer. If I have a Cavs team that has injuries, I can't say that they're not built for long postseason runs. I can question it, and it will be brought up if they lose this series. Are they a team that's just built for regular season success, but the teams that do not have two smaller guards in the backcourt, the teams that do have the dynamic wings, which these guys don't just fall off a tree. So again, when you're talking about trades and things like that, who are you going to move? Because everybody just wants to trade their trash for other teams' treasures. That's not how trades work usually in any professional sport. Every now and then, yes, it goes down that way. Unfortunately, we've recently been the victim of something like that. But usually it helps out both teams. So you have to be realistic about that. And I don't know if we can be, because I got three guys who are on the bench. DeAndre Hunter, I think, is a very important piece for this team, and we are underrating it. How much of a difference did he make when he got traded here? How much of a difference, Anthony, did he make for this basketball team? Like, we have to be cognizant of this. Like, I can sit here and I people can rant and rave, and I can get all defensive about Darius Garland, and I have. And Evan Mobley, I don't know how much defending I have to do of Evan Mobley. That's in a high ankle sprain. I think a lot of people understand that. But man, with DeAndre Hunter, when they got him, I'm thinking this is the guy that can get the Celtics away from Darius, that can get the Celtics to stop bothering Darius. This is the guy that on the defensive end can bother some of the guys with the Celtics. I didn't think about the Pacers, and I damn sure didn't think about Miami or Orlando or anything like that. But now I have to because he's injured. If I can't get him on the floor, and it doesn't sound like from any of these reporters, it doesn't sound like he is going to be on the floor, I think that might be some of the root of the trouble there. Because I do think that DeAndre Hunter provided the dynamic level of defense and certainly scoring that it took to get them up to that other level of this is a really good team. Now this is a great team that can truly compete for a championship that fits into the pieces with Donovan, with Darius, with Evan, Jarrett to a different level, but also Jarrett. And if they don't have him on the floor, yeah, I think they could beat the Pacers, but I don't have a great feeling about it any further. But if you don't have him on the floor with the other two, yeah, man, you're a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. This is going to be difficult.
Well, the killer is he put it all out there. He left it all on the floor, and they thought they were going to win, and instead he basically got carried off the floor at the end of the game, and they lost. And he's been dealing with the calf strain. We've been talking so much about the guys that aren't playing. The one guy that is playing has an injury, and the calf strains are not something to mess with. So hopefully he doesn't have to expend that much energy again to try to get them over the hump. But it is a by-any-means-necessary type of game tonight.
Andrew Berry going to join us 9:15. Browns general manager. Lima has a series of questions ready to pepper him. I have a few questions.
Yes, and the best strategy is to have a flow chart for these questions. If he answers one way on a question, then there's a tentacle that is drawn.
What the hell are you talking about?
That now points to three different other scenarios, again, depending on where he goes with the answers. So that, to me, that's good journalism.
Oh, now you're a journalist.
I think so.
Oh, yeah, you're closer than I am. So Andrew Berry going to join us at 9:15. Do we got to play Ty Jerome tonight?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure.
Of course you do.
I have a very weird history with Ty Jerome as a fan. I really do. Because I knew he'd come in and I knew he'd play well against Miami. I didn't know he'd play that well against Miami, but I knew he'd play well. He's a professional player and he's good. He's also in a contract year. Not that that matters in terms of his effort or how good he is or anything like that, but I knew he'd be a talking point. And damn if he wasn't. But that was against Miami. This series, he's been terrible through two games. Somebody gave me plus minus a couple of days ago. I chuckled.
Well, the plus minus is funny. You know who had the worst plus minus?
Donovan Mitchell, I would say, in game one.
No, in game two, you know who had the worst plus minus? Max Strus. Max Strus is amazing.
Until
a couple of inbounds plays and backcourt situations.
Yeah, that's right. Max Strus was amazing in game two. But you know what? He stood in there and he answered those questions.
Are we going to get more from Andrew Berry than we got from?
Yes.
The seething.
The nostrils inflamed. He was so mad, Max Strus was.
Oh, my God.
But you can't just sit Ty Jerome for the rest of the series. No. You can't sit him for the next two games. No, you got to play him. Especially if Darius Garland's hurt. You got
to
play him.
But honestly, Kenny, and I don't think people need to really have this explained to them because they know. What did we say all season about one of the big differences between last year and this year? One was the coach, right? But the rest of the team was the exact same. But you know who else they got? They got Ty Jerome back this year, who didn't play last year. And Ty Jerome, and I know it was a regular season, but he played at such a level to where there was almost no drop-off anytime Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland went to the bench. Because that guy probably should have been sixth man of the year, Ty Jerome. I know nobody cares now. But he led the charge, and he elevated everybody else on that bench group. He was terrific.
Yeah.
And it's still in there. It's not like he's... Yeah, I know. People are saying, now he's slow. Okay, before, there was a different term. He was methodical, right? He would get to his spots, and even if he would take his good old time, he would find the weakness in a defender and use it against him. Okay, he has struggled. There's no doubt. And I think it's mental. I don't think it's that he's slow. I think it's that mentally, he can't believe he's playing this poorly. He can't believe his jump shot has gone out the window, which it has for Donovan Mitchell as well, unfortunately. This is going to be important. Let me tell you this, make it perfectly clear. We know they have to be healthy to have a chance to realistically make a deep run.
Of course.
They need Ty Jerome to be Ty Jerome. That's one of the factors.
Well, to win tonight, they're going to need Ty Jerome to be Ty Jerome. Because... All right, you just said it. His shot, he's missed his shot. He's still a shooter. You need shooters. You need guys who are going to be, because you're going to be a 3-point team. You have, did you beat them in the paint on set on Tuesday? Because they beat them in the paint on
until
on Sunday,
until the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter, they had like an all-time amount in the paint because we had no resistance.
So this is it. You had this moment late in the third quarter where they were playing an unimaginable lineup there against you, and you were able to take advantage of that, and then they were able to get things figured out.
Yeah, that Walker in there and Shepard.
Oh, my God in heaven. I mean, you called them not even NBA players, for crying out loud, or unserious playoff players is what you were saying. You have Okoro. Okoro's not a shooter. Okoro's a defender. Okoro's a hustle guy. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't have been taken where he was taken, but either way, whatever. You have Ty Jerome. Ty Jerome's a shooter. You're a three-point shooting team. Don't get away from who you are. They've had to, and they've been, I could say they were successful. They've done it well in the paint, but they're down 0-2. So they're doing things they don't naturally want to do because they got guys who are hurt. So you're going to need Ty Jerome, hopefully, to find his spots on the floor. Which, has he been able to find his spots on the floor? Are those comfortable spots for him, and he's just missing? Because if he's able to get to his spots, that's fine. If they're defending him where he's shooting from places he's uncomfortable, then we got to have ourselves a conversation.
I will say,
maybe a little bit of both.
Indiana has a little more length than most teams. But, he's 6'5", and I saw him airball a 6-foot floater in game two. It's in his head. That is in his head.
Okay.
I don't think he's the instincts are not taking over. Instead, he's thinking about everything. The pump fakes, he's pump faking more. He is losing the ball. He's losing the handle. And once you start getting a little shoddy with the ball handling, I think a lot of his game goes out the window there. So I do think, come out confident. Don't be afraid. Don't play tentatively. Don't feel like you're pressing one missed shot into the game. And I think he can get back to who he is. And that is a very valuable player of this basketball team.
216-474-0092. Now, I think you're right about Ty Jerome. Because there's been an up and down saga with Ty from last year because he only was able to play in, two games last year to this year where now we were wondering whether or not we could even afford to hold on to him to the point where people wanted to talk him into taking home team discounts and all that other stuff even though we're not technically his home team. I think with Ty Jerome, I have to try to just keep instilling confidence in him and hope that the light comes on tonight. Because if the light comes on, if it would have came on in game two, they would have won. Like I think we don't realize that this really should be a 1-1 series. They need to realize, and this is again why I use the S word so much, is they need to realize what it's going to take to get them pushed back. Because I don't know if they're going to be up by 20 again tonight. I don't know if that's ever going to happen again in the series. But if they find themselves in a tight fourth quarter, you're going to have to be able to push it over the hump without guys that you've been relying on all year. And to be frank, those guys haven't found themselves, even if they were on the floor, they haven't found themselves in a lot of tight situations. About a handful of tight situations with games on the line this last year. But you kind of go back to some of the other experiences that they've had. I'll see what they're able to do tonight, but I got to get them to that level. Ty Jerome is still a guy that can help them get to that level. As frustrating as these last two games have been with Ty Jerome, I got no other choice. I can't sit him over in Loudville. I can't leave him on the bus. I need something out of Ty Jerome if I'm going to compete tonight. Scott and Pepper Pike, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, I just don't think you can emphasize enough how much a playoff defense is a different animal than regular season. If you guys remember back in the day, Mo Williams used to average like 20 points a game, and then come playoffs, he could barely get a shot off. I think you're just looking at a really good defensive team in Indiana, really good defensive teams in the playoffs who are taking it up 10 notches, and he's just not as effective. I think he's going to have a game here and there, but he's just not going to be as consistent as he was in the regular season.
I think you're dead right. I think you're dead right about that, Scott. Indiana's a better defensive team anyway than what we dealt with Miami. But also, he's a guy off the bench for a lot of reasons where if you put too much on him, he might have a tendency to wilt. And Scott, thank you very much for the call. But he's been a guy who's helped out throughout runs and has tried to keep the Cavs ahead with his shooting for I would say most of his career, but all the season that he's been here. Chuck and Westlake, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing okay, Chuck.
Yeah, so as far as me with Ty Jerome, I think he's more effective when he's a facilitator more than a shoot first guy. You know, everybody knows when he get the ball, he gonna shoot it. So they collapsing on him, and his floater has actually turned into a sinker. But it's one more thing that I did want to say, and this has nothing to do with the Cavs. It's actually Mitch was supposed to power rank you three guys, and y'all let him off the hook from doing that a couple weeks back.
No, he did. He did it. I made him so. He did it at the end of the show. I got him so mad he power ranked Lima before me.
Oh damn it! I wanted to see. I wanted to see who was actually number one.
I think it just depends on who he's more concerned about agitating that day. Like if Ken is being loud with him and bossing him around.
Well, I'm always number two for him. Because people got to realize this, and Chuck, it's a great question. Thank you very much for the call.
We didn't even need the music.
95% of the time that I am yelling at Mitch about anything, it's just because Lima won't do it, and Lima's talking through me. I'm the messenger for Lima. I'm the henchman for Lima.
Who doesn't love a good henchman?
Well, how many times have I had to say something to Mitch or anybody for that matter? It's always, well, it's basically because you texted me about it. How many times do I pass along your message to people?
Let me tell you something right now. As a working professional who values his teammates here at 92.3 The Fan and Odyssey, good luck. You will not find any detrimental texts about any of my colleagues today.
But
there's not been one sent today.
You sure?
There was one sent an hour ago.
I was about to say,
I did send one. Yeah. I'm sending one right now.